Hello, hello.
Hi, Khaled. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, welcome back to our podcast. We have a slightly different location today.
Is it slightly?
It's very different, and I'm even using different tech because I had to improvise, but we'll get into that in a moment. But yeah, why don't you tell our listeners, our wonderful listeners and watchers, where we are?
Yeah, we are on a business trip, actually, and, you know, we had to work with what we have. So it's not a slight difference, a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, this time I got the snacks. We passed by during our business trip. And what I have here is a bit of like a chocolate assortment. Some of them are stuffed with hazelnuts. And then you have like some chocolate milk balls with a bit of nuts on top. And yeah, just to kind of give us a bit of the sugar rush.
True, because last time we had gyozas, it was more of a savory situation, so we need to balance it.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you had the sriracha sauce, which is a bit spicy.
Yes.
So sometimes it's very hard to collect your thoughts when it hits you.
And I wasn't expecting it to be that spicy when we were filming, and I was like, whoa, wasn't expecting that.
Well, we're done, we're here, so yeah, that's what all matters.
Yes.
And
to go with the tradition, the person who brings the food also brings the topic. So, what topic would you like to bring to the table today?
I'm thinking ad fatigue. This is the big monster for advertisers.
And we did promise in one of the previous episodes that we would talk about this. So,
correct.
Let's dive in. I'd love to hear your thoughts, because when I think of ad fatigue, I think of it in more of a mechanical performance way when we're looking at the metrics and so on. But I would love to hear from a creative standpoint, like, what is your whole, like, what are your opinions on it? What's your experience with it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have like hard opinions, or maybe we'll discover this as we flow with our conversations.
Yeah, sometimes things come up that we don't know.
Yeah, sometimes you become passionate and yeah, you rant about things.
Yeah.
But all I have to say is just, it is a big topic. What really surprises me is people's reaction, or marketers' reactions to ad fatigue, as being something really strange. And if you think about it in broad terms, everything has an expiry date, right?
Yeah.
So you have a shelf life in the supermarket for a product. If you talk and you speak to people and you repeat the same thing, they'll get tired eventually of you being repetitive or naggy or complaining about things. And it's not any different for advertising. You could see the same ad rolling again and again, and you're going to develop emotions of like either boredom or hatred to the brand based on how much you see the ad.
Yeah.
It becomes repetitive. It becomes distracting. It becomes disturbing. And the advertiser would think, oh, I'm disrupting, or I'm capturing attention, but you're actually, you know, creating, you're starting to create a negative loop in a way. And that could harm brand and the product itself.
Yeah.
So I think from a branding perspective, from a creative world, those who really craft their messaging and look at the timeline of their ad and their messaging are the ones who can strategically approach this and avoid it happening.
Yeah.
And what I mean is, when you're launching something, a product or a narrative, event-based or a new service, you don't treat every communication as the same piece. You start with a teaser, just a bit. Notice movies start with a trailer to kind of generate demand, generate hype. And then you go again through the journey or the funnel, which is a word you hate, but you start with a bit of like brand awareness, a bit of like infotainment.
It's an introduction in the end.
Yeah.
We all need introducing to things.
Absolutely. So if you are systematic in a way, and you go with a teaser, then a reveal, then the use cases and the scenarios and how you can blend it to your life, and then you wrap up with a conversion, or with like a sale, or with an offer, or with a bundle, then you can smoothly sail without creating ad fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where it happens is when you tap into a lot of frequency in one of those phases, and this is where the ad fatigue happens. But there's a lot of aspects that we can cover in this episode about why ad fatigue happens. Some of it is creative, some of it is distribution wise,
yeah,
and other it is like other parts are like strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have to say one thing I notice with marketers and advertisers is that they really just focus on fighting ad fatigue on a very shallow level. And that means, oh, my creative is not performing. I will just throw another template for my ad. And it's much more than that. But I can elaborate on this more. What I wanted to ask you is, from what you've seen and your experience, what are the misconceptions or what are the most challenging aspects about ad fatigue in the world of metrics, analytics, performance, and what do you actually recommend for marketers and advertisers to do in order to avoid that situation?
Yeah. So to draw a little bit more on what you were saying about, like, it begins with the story, and then you said about like the introduction and the you might tease it a little bit and then you start to introduce it, you have the case studies. For me, ad fatigue can be solved before marketing starts, before performance marketing starts, with the messaging. Because if a brand truly understands this customer, truly has product market fit or service market fit, that brand will know how to talk about, because in the end, marketing is talking about the same thing over and over again, but in different ways so that people don't get bored. If a brand knows how to do this or knows their customer well enough to be able to talk about what they're doing, what they're selling, what they're giving over and over again to the customer, then they should be able to frame it in different ways if they understand the product that they're selling and they understand the customer that they're selling to. So I would say that ad fatigue, or like resolving ad fatigue, let's say, begins before marketing's even started. So that's one case. That is a very tough case to solve, because I would argue that, and I've not got a percentage in my head, that there are a lot of brands out there and a lot of people selling things that don't really have the product messaging nailed down. They maybe don't understand the customer well enough. And it's a problem in the industry that we see. Okay, fine. So how do we then solve it on a marketing level? So there's no hard or fast rule to, I don't want to come on and say, you need to be creating new creatives and refreshing your creatives every week, because that's actually not the case. It depends on a multitude of factors. It depends on if we're going to dive deeper into the campaign level metrics. So things like, how many people are in your audience? What is your reach? What is your frequency? That will, like, what is your budget? That's going to affect the level of ad fatigue that you're reaching. And even that's not, it's not always mechanical, because it could be that, because obviously the Meta algorithm has a lot, probably the most control about who it shows an ad to. So it could be that you set a very broad audience in your ad set and you have a reasonable size budget, but it could be that Meta's algorithm then decides to deliver your ads to a small portion of that audience many times, depending on how the algorithm understands the behavior of your audience and understands how your messaging fits. On the other side of the coin, that budget could be distributed the other way, where maybe many people in your audience only see the ad one to two times. And this is kind of distribution that we cannot control, because it is about the algorithm, it's about the messaging. I guess actually saying that, we could control it if we do a lot of testing with the messaging. So what that means is, you could have the same campaign set up and you don't know whether you're going to hit ad fatigue after a week, because you're only delivering to a very small number of people many times. You could have ad fatigue for a month. You could even be delivering to people many, many times and never see the effect of ad fatigue, because simply people are not really getting sick of your brand. Mm-hmm. I've also seen it where, like, ads have been live for 6 months to a year and they're still performing. So as long as they're not seasonal, it's totally fine in my book to keep them live. So that's talking about the campaign metrics. And then to tackle what to do in order to prevent the ad fatigue when you're seeing it. So this would be like a notification that pops up in Meta, or maybe you see that the click-through rates, the engagement rates, are really starting to decline on ads that might have previously performed super well. this is where you have to get creative. I totally agree with what you're saying. It's not just about throwing another template where you might change a color or you might move something around. It goes back to what I was saying in the beginning about what's messaging doing. How can you tweak the messaging? How can you compare ads that maybe get ad fatigue? It takes longer for them to get ad fatigue. What's working there? What about that messaging? What about that template? What about the way that the product or service is displayed seems to be resonating more with the audience? Because in the end, ad fatigue is signaling audience boredom. So how can we find a way to keep our audiences entertained?
But is it only boredom or not interested? Or it's not relevant to them.
It could also be irrelevant. However, if something was irrelevant, and this is a question that I actually need to think about. It's been a long day of meetings, so maybe my brain's not on tip top notch today. If it was irrelevant, let's say if it was an ad that was previously performing very well, and all metrics were stable in terms of reach and frequency, or maybe we're starting to see the frequency go up. So we could assume that the ad is targeting kind of the same audience. If it was previously performing super well, I would argue that it is boredom, because at some point they were interested in it and then it changed. Unless the Meta algorithm decided to, I don't want to say decided because it's not a person, it doesn't have the, you know what I mean? Unless Meta all of a sudden started delivering it to a different group of people, which is possible. But if we could isolate those variables a little bit through like reach and frequency, we could say that it's boredom. If an app doesn't perform from the get-go, then we can say they're not interested.
Okay, so let's wrap it up a bit on what you've mentioned. You talked about Meta being able to flag things when ad fatigue is like a notification.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have something else that says your metrics kind of be an indication, like the click-through rate, which we call the CTR,
yeah,
and the CPA start to decline. It means you need a refresh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the refresh doesn't need to be only a cosmetic change. From a creative aspect, it needs to be going down to the messaging, and maybe we have to look at the audience targeting and so on, right? Great. So you talked about Meta. Right. Do you have any insights on the other platforms like Snap, or is it the same from a performance perspective? The fundamentals are there, like if we talk about like YouTube and the rest.
The fundamentals are there.
Mm.
The ad fatigue is reached at different levels. For example, generally when you advertise on TikTok, and I think I mentioned this in the previous podcast, the audience sizes that TikTok requires are a lot bigger, or not requires, let's say, but when say Meta's ideal audience size, when business manager shows that it's green and you can go, and then you're like, great, I've done my targeting well. It's the audience size is a lot smaller than TikTok. So then the ad fatigue is probably going to be a lot less if we're assuming that the algorithm's got more audience size to play with.
So can we argue, like from a generalist point of view, if you have the best creative and you have the strategy, but your settings for the frequency, which is decided by the algorithm.
On some campaigns, you can set the
frequency. Yeah, frequency cap, which we call.
Yeah.
That plays a big role into how soon or how far ad fatigue is reached. Okay, great. So I'm just going to tap into something that we're not derailing the conversation. I'm just going into like how I feel as someone who's, let's say, a regular viewer, user of all those social media channels.
I'm just going to unwrap that.
Go. Yeah. I wanted to say more, like, I find ad fatigue happening to me personally, mostly on YouTube. It drives me crazy because of the way they design their formats to be. So I would be, let's say, clicking on a video I want to watch, and I have the expectations to watch one or two or three ads max. At some instances, I felt like I'm watching six ads in a row, and it is too much. It's like they're really milking it in a way, and it's really, sometimes I really skip the whole video just because I just feel it's ridiculous to kind of like front load all that. And I'm talking about, let's say, you would watch three or four ads unskippable. You're forced.
Yeah.
And then after that, you have
like
a skippable.
Minutes of your time if it's a 30-second unskippable video.
Yeah, and it just goes up to 5 or 6, which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, distribute it across the video. Get me to get that hook or something. But it happens in a way that is so disturbing for the user experience in a way. I know you want to push premium and whatever, and like I personally am subscribed to it even before I reach the ad fatigue because I'm a big YouTube user.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it just doesn't make sense from a ad structuring point of view. Like, you could definitely run your ads across, but it's just too harsh on the attention economy,
mm-hmm.
I would say.
I absolutely agree. One thing I noticed with YouTube, and I've not necessarily noticed this, and I'm definitely more familiar with how the Meta algorithm works than the YouTube algorithm, but I noticed with YouTube is that maybe for the same two to three weeks in a row, it was like I was only seeing one ad from one company. I wasn't seeing like a mixture of ads, especially the first one, because like you said, a lot of the times you see like multiple ads in a row, but the first ad was always from the same company and the music was obnoxiously loud. And because when I'm on YouTube, I have the sound on because I'm watching videos. Normally when I'm scrolling through, well, TikTok's a mixture, but I think TikTok ads are like a bit more nasal.
Are you talking about the difference in volume, like how it suddenly becomes so loud?
Yes.
Or yeah.
So the difference in volume, and I think this particular brand, and I'm not gonna shame them on there, because actually I'm already a customer of this brand, so I didn't even need the advertising. But it was like this music was super obnoxious, and sometimes I put YouTube on in the morning to listen to a meditation, and in the beginning I met with like this what I felt like a
bangers
punch in the face, and I was like, first of all, I'm already using this product. And second of all, that is not like, that's not what I want to be hit with when I'm trying to, you know, do my breathing and my meditation.
Yeah, it's a shame. I feel like there's a lack of relevance when it comes to ads.
Yeah.
And I'm a big YouTube fan, but it just disappoints me like how it shows like there's this more attention towards advertiser interest and not user, which is the your trading card, you know, like the users, the product, like it's a very solid product and it replaced TV and all that kind of stuff. And thing is, with what you're talking about is the difference in volume, the frequency is so high. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, you have a lot of ads to go through and some of them you're forced and there's a timer. Okay, I get it. But the frequency is the highest I've seen among a lot of different brands.
Yeah.
Instagram comes second in terms of frequency. But like at some points, I'm just cursing at the brand and I'm cursing at the ad, and in a way, just because it has been spamming me.
Yeah.
In a way. And wow. If I'm watching seven videos per day, there are instances where out of the 7 videos, you would have that same brand advertising within the same video even. You'd see it like 6 or 7 times. Even.
Yeah. And I wonder if with Instagram, it's less noticeable, because with YouTube, we generally consume longer form content. So there's more interruption in the content that you're consuming. With Instagram, it's like the ads arrive between the pieces of content that you're consuming. So it's not like a reel is going to be disrupted with an ad that you have to return to. Whereas, like you said, if you're watching, I don't know, a 20-minute video on YouTube and every 5 minutes it's getting disrupted and you're like, I just want to get on with my video.
You know, 2 days ago, like checking into the hotel, I was like, I love sleeping to white noise. And imagine you've put white noise. It doesn't happen. It didn't happen. Maybe like kudos to YouTube not disrupting anyone's sleep in that sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, like just like your meditation example, it could go wrong at somewhere where you are trying to relax or meditate. And YouTube, the beauty of it, it serves all like much more different use cases, because it's like it's so rich with content. Like, whether you're jamming to a beat or music, or you know, but like with white noise again, imagine you would have at the middle of a night like an upbeat ad for GoPro that is action-packed, that's going to wake you up. And
imagine, oh my God, and how annoying would that be, is if you're in that phase where you're about to drift off, you're not quite asleep yet, you're about to drift off. That for me is like the worst time to get woken up, because if I get woken up in that phase, then I'm not going to sleep for another few hours. So imagine that phase where you're in like the first, I don't know, 20 minutes of drifting off, and then even something, an ad comes on like to do with your taxes, and then you're, oh no, I need to do my taxes. That's it, whole night of sleep gone.
I mean, let's see how, if like YouTube, if you're listening, fix that, please. I mean, I'm subscribed to premium because of this. I like the function of not looking at my phone, and if I'm jogging or mm-hmm. something, I would want to listen to something. Or even I love downloading content to consume when I'm on a flight or something. So those are the more features that like I'm in for,
mm-hmm.
and it gives you access to YouTube music and so on. I'm not kind of promoting that, but like the ad aspect, like. Premium is not only to kind of avoid ads, and I'm not talking about this as a decision I made,
mm-hmm.
but ad fatigue is, if it wasn't for the other features, I would have never subscribed, and I wouldn't have used maybe YouTube as much as I
mm-hmm.
consume. Yeah. Subscribe
to YouTube.
Back to ad rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about some platforms and their practices, and we talked about the performance aspects. Is there anything else you want to add, or should we jump into creative?
Let's jump into creative.
Okay.
I feel like I went on a tangent there talking about the algorithms and stuff like that. Good. I'd love to hear.
I think they're tied together. So with creative, it's always good to be very aware of what emotion do you want to evoke
mm-hmm.
in your customers.
Ooh, question.
Yeah.
Could ad fatigue be tied to if you're evoking like a super strong emotion or a super negative emotion?
It could be that psychological aspect. Mm. It could be a shocker, but then it kind of fades away. I would say from that perspective, let's say you know the product and you have your campaign and you've segmented the personas that are going to be consuming or like viewing that ad, what you need to do is to make sure it's like, okay, I'm speaking to the gamer, I'm speaking to the shopper, I'm speaking to, the parent.
Yeah.
And so you've segmented your audiences.
Yeah.
Therefore, you've created your pieces of content mm-hmm. from a copy and from a visual aspect.
Yeah.
If you don't have much visuals, you can supplement with copies and so on, voiceovers, all that kind of stuff. But then you have to make sure that once you are launching your campaign, what's really good that helps you avoid that fatigue is like, okay, am I launching my campaign and in 2 weeks Valentine's happening? What can I do to kind of tap into a personalized moment? What can I do in terms of like, so there's an event, which is Valentine. It could be something like back to school.
Yeah.
Or Black Friday or even Christmas.
Oh, we should do another episode on
yep.
trends.
Absolutely. Trends is a big topic. But yeah. if you utilize trends... And you personalize and localize. And sometimes ad fatigue doesn't happen because of the creative or because of the copy. It happens because maybe you are advertising to an expat community within that country or geographical location that doesn't speak that language.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of advertisers fall into the trap of communicating in one language.
Yeah.
So if you diversify that, you can tap into more audiences.
Yeah.
And therefore... delay ad fatigue. And I wanted to say ad fatigue happens whether you like it or not. As an advertiser and a marketer, you need to make peace with the fact that ad fatigue is part of the journey.
If not, we would have just put ads live in 2016 and they'd still be running now.
Yeah.
Fine.
Absolutely.
I don't need to do anything anymore.
Yeah, and ad fatigue happens because we get fatigued from lots of things in life. And then from a creative perspective, there are other aspects that you can solve with. So if you're running still ads, adding a small animation
mm-hmm.
or turning a couple of shots into a slideshow or taking a product, removing the background and making it spin in 360 kind of to show the product.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have any of those technicalities, you can just animate the text or drop the text again. Sometimes you can take the still itself and just add a vignette around it
yeah.
to create the focus and the center.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that you could do from a cosmetic, low touch points
yeah.
to kind of refresh the creative. And when so you have color.
The text, I was thinking like word art from Windows 95.
Could be. I mean, it's a new thing. So if you kind of compare, I mean, it's not going to be aesthetically really good. But sometimes also ad fatigue happens. And this is going to be controversial. A lot of platforms say, follow our best practices, do this. This is the best template. This is the best audit. Okay. But you have to understand that if you and I and another 100 companies are running ads today and we're all following the same best practices and all templating, then it's not you who's creating the ad fatigue. It's the collective creating the ad fatigue. So sometimes you need to know the rules to know how to break them. And what happens is sometimes anyone can say, like, hey, you've given us your best practices. We followed your template advice. But yeah, that performance is not doing well. When we don't do anything and we just have our product behind a white background, performs better.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but that is a fatigue from the industry in a way. And sometimes it goes down to that reason. It's just you need to sometimes derail from the common gold standard to create a shock.
Yeah.
And I'd give the metaphor, like you can go to the gym every day, but if you train hard every day, there's a phase where you need to deload.
Yeah.
When you deload, you recharge, you rest, and therefore you can perform better.
Yeah.
And you need to deload when you're loading ads and you have a specific style.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that you have brand identity and you need to be consistent. That consistency creates a fatigue sometimes. Mm-hmm. So you need to think about how you play around your brand guidelines, following the guidelines, but, you know, experiment with layout. Experiment with text,
mm-hmm.
experiment with personalization and translations and trends,
mm-hmm.
experiment with animation and motion. Try not to create templates that look so alike. You can have two different templates, but both of them have the same aesthetic. And mm-hmm. the way you can notice is if you squint your eyes and you look from afar and you look at it, and it's like, okay, yeah, both of them have a circular design and they're framed the same way. So they have
the
same look, a different color. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So there are lots of ways you can play with contrast, you can play with color. And when you introduce motion, then you open another world of reducing ad fatigue.
Yeah.
And once you reach ad fatigue, it's fine. Sometimes you just have to stop, go back to the drawing board, and reconcept.
Mm-hmm. I really love what you said about we're always going to have ad fatigue, because that really is a thing in our industry that people are like, oh, no, I don't want to get ad fatigue. I don't want to reach ad fatigue. But as you said, it is a completely normal thing, and that's what helps us to progress and move forward and innovate. Even, and I'm going to go back a third time to what I was saying, even if it helps you to get creative about the messaging that you use, it is a good thing to constantly be thinking about this to make sure that you're still relevant. Because yeah, if we didn't have it, then we would all just leave the same ads running all the time and be like, okay. Maybe for some people that would be nice because you think they've got nothing to do. But, you know, if you want to get a little bit creative, then it's a good thing to push us to get better.
Well, you have to understand as well that the fact of advertising is you're trading attention. You're asking for attention in return of offering something that you hope is going to convert and it's going to be relevant to your audience.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I wanted to highlight is, are you familiar with trading?
As in like
stock trading. Yeah.
High level.
Okay.
Assume I'm not.
There are things when you are investing in a stock or you have to accept that there are ups and downs. So, and it's never only, I want the perfect creative to perform all the way. It's going to go up and down,
mm-hmm.
just like a stock. And why am I referring to that? Because in trading, you could set a stop loss.
Mm-hmm.
So when the stock goes under that value, you sell, you exit.
Yeah.
And you can set a take profit section. And when you reach the top, that means you cash out as well. If you as an advertiser or as a creative think about how can my creative give me that performance, but when it actually starts dying out,
mm-hmm.
where do I set my stop loss?
Yeah.
And you are referring to when you see the CTR or the CPA dropping, you can set a specific benchmark and say, this is where I have to refresh, or I have to template, or I have to set things into motion, or I need to go back and create a totally new design from the assets I have.
Yeah.
And a lot of advertisers think, oh, ad fatigue means it's going to cost me more. It's going to cost you more if you ignore it, because you're going to be burning cash. But if you tap into your image library and your old photo shoots and your icons and just go to your website, take aspects and elements and add them.
Use reviews. Just add new, like add newness in.
Yeah.
Different
a aspects. Testimonial from a customer.
Yeah, exactly.
UGC.
They should be coming in all the time, like Google reviews and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And plus, it can be automated. All of that, like not necessarily the new creative creation, although that can be automated to a certain extent. But this stop loss, what you said, like these barriers. You can automate that. You can either create alerts from it. You can even automate it to the point where you can say, okay, if an ad goes below a certain threshold, pause it so that I'm not losing any more money. And then I get a notification. I know that I need to refresh my creatives. And then when you really start paying attention to it, then you start to see the differences in cadence. You know, am I somebody who reaches ad fatigue very quickly? Why is that? Is it to do with all of the settings that we mentioned in the beginning? Is it to do with the messaging? I can highly recommend these ones that are wrapped in a
cover.
Yes, they are good.
Right, let's go.
And I think then when you understand the cadence of ad fatigue, it no longer becomes a problem. As in like, oh no, I keep on reaching ad fatigue, because then you can put things in place to tackle it. So if you know that on a weekly basis you're reaching ad fatigue and you've done everything with your messaging to try to lengthen it and it's not worked, well, then you just know as a business, you need to have new creatives every week and find out different ways of communicating with your customer on that frequency.
Also, let's add advertisers or creative departments that haven't tested their creative enough fall into ad fatigue faster because they don't gather learnings to understand how long can an element in your creative last and how much it's going to attract attention. So it goes to a lot of aspects, to be honest, like your media planning, your creative framework, your creative testing, the market, the psychology of the frequency,
product market fit, your messaging, your understanding of your customer, like all of these
things. But still, people just focus on what they can see and they blame it all on creative, and they think that changing a template could just solve it. Sometimes it just extends another 2-3 days and then it falls again.
Yeah, that's what I was actually going to say before. Like, you might see this effect when you just put new templates in and you've not really gone and done the digging to understand why. You will see the effect of, oh, a new template might boost your campaigns. But as you said, it's going to be very short-lived, and it's like the cheap sugar version of, you know, actually going in and doing the work. I don't know what the more expensive version of that is. Anyway, yeah. It was a bad metaphor.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, wrapping up this topic is just, my advice is to kind of look at whatever we talked about today, think about it, but also do not have this attitude towards, oh, I want to eliminate ad fatigue.
No.
Because you cannot eliminate it.
Learn from it.
What I would say instead, try to play the game, try to elongate the period, but avoid when you know it is the right time, because your cost is going to be higher by just looking at ad fatigue happening, not taking action, and blaming it all on creative.
Yeah.
And therefore, you're going to burn out your creative team, and you're going to limit it to just tactical executional aspects of the creative when you have a whole world and ecosystem that goes around why fatigue happens.
Yeah.
One last aspect that is a favorite example I have, and I promise I'll stop here, is...
I love your examples.
I mean, I've seen it because with with a lot of advertisers, like, you might have the best creative, the best media strategy, the best content. Your timing might be off. Let's say you're advertising an expensive product and it is 15th of December and people still didn't get their salaries and they spent most of their last paycheck or whatever, and you haven't seen a lot of conversions or people interested. They might be interested in the product, but from a financial perspective, there's a limitation.
Or maybe they're sick of seeing Christmas ads.
Absolutely. But then your aspect of ad fatigue, what you're seeing, is because the cycle of cash flow and the purchase power is not there. So it would have been better for you to run it 15 days earlier or 15 days after.
And that goes into like understanding your customer.
Then you're closer to conversion windows in a way, like, hey, I could buy this in a way. Yeah, I mean, this is another example of why relevancy is super important when it comes to your ads and ad fatigue and effectiveness.
Yeah.
Shall we wrap this up?
Let's wrap that up. I felt like that was a great conversation.
It was great. I really
enjoyed it.
Forgive us for any cuts you see. We are on the go. So while filming this, we had one of the cameras fall down.
Yes.
So, but yeah, we made it till the end.
We made it till the end. Until also, forgive me because I have a different microphone, so maybe my voice sounds different, but progress over perfection, that's what we're going with.
Yes, and no permissions, just ask for forgiveness.
True. I love it. I love it. Okay. Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Yes.